Support for Politics and Public Policy reporting on SDPB is made possible by SDN Communications, your business broadband provider. Learn more at sdncommunications.com.
Welcome back to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. We meet the candidates of the 2018 South Dakota election. You can hear all the conversations with candidates on our website, listen.sdpb.org. Go there and search for your district or meet the candidates or the last name of the candidates who are running. Today, we welcome Paul Dennert. He is a Democrat. He's from District 1, and he is running for state representative. He joins us from rural Columbia, South Dakota. Paul Dennert, thank you for being here with us today.
Yeah, good morning. Thank you.
So you have a background as a public servant and as a South Dakota lawmaker, but yet there's been a break and you're trying to head back again. Give us a little bit about your journey and why now and why continue in this particular way.
Well, as you know, I've had previous legislative experience quite a few years ago. I had a community background, a lot of different offices and or donated church treasurer, county offices, farmers union, just down the list, and was interested and was elected, well, I hate to say it, 1992, so that's been 25 years ago. I served 20 straight years in the legislature, either as a representative or a senator. In 2012, they redistricted, and I did termed in the House chamber that particular year. I had a residence in Aberdeen and challenged an incumbent Republican in Aberdeen at that time and lost. And so I've been kind of hid in the weeds, I guess, for a few years and live in rural Columbia District 1 from redistricting, which really puts me basically a small area. My ground county is in District 1, where my main area is District 2 or 3, rural Brown County in Aberdeen. But District 1 is rural, and I do live in that district now. So the opportunity kind of arose with the current senator, term limited and retired, Susan Wisberg transferred her candidacy to the Senate, and I had a primary in June for the House seat in District 1 and was successful. I decided to run. I guess I enjoyed it. There's some issues yet that are out there on property taxes or value. I shouldn't say taxes, more valuations. The taxes are set by budgets and mill levies. Valuation issues on the land values. And I guess the thing that I'll say, and maybe I'm a little offbeat, when I did serve, I served with current Congresswoman Kristi Noem was in the legislature, and we were assistant leaders at the same time. So I feel if elected, or if it would be Governor Noem, I think I'd have good working relationships with her. As we know, we're going to have a new governor. And I did serve in the background with Billy Sutton, the Democrat candidate. So I think I could bring some experience and knowledge of the process and past history. So main reasons I'm running up this year, and hopefully I'm successful in November.
You have seen so much with your experience in public service. You've seen successful legislation. You've seen policy that is as less successful. You've seen things that have not yet been done, that there may be problems there that are ongoing. When you look at the upcoming session and the transition to a new governor, what are some of those top issues right now in 2018, 2019, that you feel need to be addressed?
Well, like you said, I've seen successes and failures, and some things that move forward probably weren't we're all favorable totally, but as we know, South Dakota is a very conservative state, and I think we look at our people as, you know, that we're representing and look at that when we decide in peer. I was there when the former school funding program started, and they changed that a couple of years ago with the event of the sales tax increase for school funding, which I think is successful in a way, but I still think it needs some amendments to capitalize. I just had a discussion today with the school district that lost money in the new funding formula, even with the sales tax increase. And a couple years ago, since I've been out, they did some increases for highway funding, which we went through that period. So there's been some good successes. Right today in my campaign, I really dwelled on community-based service funding for nursing homes, adjustment training centers, assisted livings, all that. We just haven't stayed up to pace for the community-based service funding for the employees that work at those places. I am a director on one of them here in Aberdeen or Brown County, and it just seemed like we got to compete, and our salary starting base is about the same as a young person starting to flip hamburgers at, and I shouldn't say, let's say a fast food, that way I won't get in trouble. But fast food or any type of cashier at one of the retail outlets, and that just isn't holding pace. And if we could get some state money in it, we leverage federal monies for the reimbursement to that. So that would be one of the main things that I would look to accomplish in the next couple of years if elected. And the other issue that's really come to the forefront is the internet sales tax, with the ruling that we could start collecting from out-of-state vendors. And there is a caveat in the law that we're supposed to lower the sales tax as it reaches a plateau. I've got a little concern about that. I hope it gets implemented and goes forward, because I worked as a task force group for many years on the implementation of that several years ago as it moved forward. It's a necessary thing, but I would like to see some of that revenue more dedicated for some of the areas of our government that, as like community-based services, need the funding. So that would be an issue. They might have a special session on that implementation. So a lot of that might be decided before next session, but you know, anything can be amended and changed if you get enough votes. So issue, I think, is coming to the forefront right now, too.
What are sort of the benefits of having that conversation before the election? Do you think it's something that is urgent and needs to be addressed right away, or do you think that it's something that should wait until a new crop of lawmakers until voters speak about who they want in the next session?
You know, you're talking about the internet sales tax. I really think that they might have to have a special session, not knowing all the mechanics of it myself personally, but I think the way it's hanging in limbo right now, that Governor Dugard, I think, just about has to have a special session to get the mechanics in place to even receive the money. So that, I think, has to be done. I don't know that we would have to do the idea of reducing the current sales tax as it meets plateaus now. It could wait till January session. But I guess I'm not going to criticize if the legislature moves forward and decides to put all the mechanics in place as the sales tax from the internet tax, I'm going to call it, comes in and would hit a plateau that reduces our current sales tax. I'm not going to criticize that they do that, because that legislation's in place, but that's something that probably could wait to the next group of legislature. But if they want to move forward, I think, and Governor Dugard, in all fairness to him, might would want to see it at its completion before he leaves office.
Sure. If voters decide to send you to peer this session, and you sort of bring this idea of community-based services and the salaries and what we need to do to be competitive, do you think that's mainly an education piece, that it's time to really start having those conversations with lawmakers and getting that issue on the table in a more comprehensive way? Is it a legislative solution? Is it we just need for folks to understand the situation?
You know, I think there's enough education out there, people understand it, and if you're involved any, with the services and most people have a relative, somebody in a nursing home or assisted living or hopefully not, but we know there's in adjustment training centers, or we call ours Aspire in Brown County. You know, I think people that understand and the need and the turnover of employees now, that the education is there to the legislators. It's deciding to set up priority and funding it to a higher degree. But there again, then we step back and where do the funds come from? And I guess I'm going to be a little narrow-minded and say, gee, what a great place to take, some of the internet sales tax instead of reducing the sales tax to maybe designate that money to funding that. So it's a matter of priorities. In my legislative years, it's been an issue that I served on the Appropriations Committee, and, they're under that same umbrella, CPI or 3%, whichever, is last. And they've gave them some one-time monies, and they try to help out what they can, and they've gave one-time monies for salary increases, but still lagging behind. I think it just is, to my mind, it should be coming to the forefront as an important issue to address sooner rather than later, and what would be sooner than 2019.
Paul Denner, thank you so much for your time today. We appreciate it.
Well, thank you for this opportunity to visit and answer a few questions.